the Southside's own Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Paez.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down, and right now not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh my goodness!
Bentley play action. So Jake Bentley chased.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire inside, play to 1-2. He did it. He did it. Steamboat played well. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in on a Bears Monday. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet jhood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. With you till 10 o'clock, then we hand it over to Dan Lovitard and Stu Gatz here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll hear from former Packer, WSSP talk show host Gary Ellerson coming up in 6 minutes here on ESPN 1000 as we talk about the Bears and their loss against the Packers. I'm still not over it, and I'm the only one talking Bears football with you here on the radio dial. You can leave and go someplace else and come back, and I'll still be the only one talking Bears football. So that's why I want you to call me, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you haven't gotten in all day, or if you've called all of your favorite radio shows about the Bears, call me too. I want to hear your thoughts, because I thought that the Bears were going to lose yesterday. I just didn't think that they would lose in such a fashion the way they did yesterday. That was an incredible victory for the Green Bay Packers and just a devastating loss for the Bears. The one thing that I've found on this program the last couple of day, a couple of hours, I would say, is that some want to be able to point their finger at one thing or the other. Earlier, we had a caller that said the referees took it away from the Bears. That's the reason why the Bears lost, or the reason why the Bears lost is because of play calling, or the Bears lost because of Mitch Trubisky, or the Bears lost. Can I tell you something? When you lose as a team. You can point at a few things for sure with this football team. You can certainly look at some things and some plays that were left on the field, but the idea that you blame one thing on why the Bears lost is just minor league to me. I'm in a big boy market. I'm a Chicagoan. I know what bad football looks like. I know what underachieving football looks like. Hell, I know what good football looks like. And I'm here to tell you that the Bears for the first half, as you saw, like I saw, they played very good football on both ends. They were inspired. They were not overwhelmed by the moment. Mitch Trubisky in the offense was not overwhelmed by the moment in the first half. And I can look at that and check that box and say, man, Lambeau Field, Sunday Night Football, the whole world's looking at you because you're the only game that's on at that point in time. And they did not look overwhelmed by the moment. They ran their offense and ran it well in the first half. Problem is that there's two halves. There's four quarters in football. And that if you don't play and have more positive plays than negative plays, and if you underachieve, especially against a veteran-laden Packers team, you're going to get what you deserve. The Bears were up. They knocked out Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers comes back. He's definitely a big part of it. But also some of the play calling from Matt Nagy, especially on third down, left a lot to be desired. And also the execution of Sane was not necessarily as good as it should be as well. How is it that you could be a dominant force defensively and all of a sudden in the second half? You know why? It's because of conditioning, as Yurko said. I wouldn't know. Yurko would know. He said that earlier on his show. because he's been through training camps and knows the difference. One of the things that stood out to me in yesterday's press conference from Matt Nagy, listen very closely.
Well, because I knew we could do that. I really did. And they proved it. And it was so good for our guys to have that. And, you know, they didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason. And so for them to see what can happen, you know, so some of those are scripted, those plays. And so they're able to study them. But they see it's there. They understand that it's there. And that's one of the beautiful parts of our team right now is we are so young. We're young as a staff. We're young as players. And that's no exception. That's no excuse. But when you see it, then it makes you feel good and you know you can improve.
If it's no excuse, why bring it up? That's my whole point of it. If it's on the top of your head to say,
you know, they didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason.
And also talk about how young this football team is in spots, then why bring it up? Don't use those issues as excuses. Don't make them, if they're not excuses, don't make them talking points. Just don't say it. What you do is that you try to figure out how the team can get better. You appreciate the candor, but also when you say,
you know, they didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason.
That's, you control that as a head coach. You control those reps. You felt like the Bears won the Super Bowl last year, so Trubisky and a new offense didn't need more time. I will also say this, that preseason does not necessarily mean that the Bears would have won yesterday. What I'm saying is that when former, and again, I only base my opinion based on what other players have done it before, because it's easy for me to just say, well, they should have played more in preseason. I'd rather talk to a Waddle, a Yurko, and football friends of mine that played the game that could tell you, yeah, I think that if you have the more reps you have, the better. Now, is that the difference between a win and a loss? I don't know. But I just don't think,
you know, they didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason.
As a talking point is not good. He addressed it again today.
You obviously decided during the preseason not to put those guys out there, and you deferred to health on that. So are you saying that with the zone and all these types of things that it's just this process that
it is. That's exactly what I'm saying. It is this process. And our guys, you know, with going against our defense in training camp, you know, we play a fair amount of zone. So our guys know it's nothing. It has nothing to do with zone or man. Our guys know how to adjust with that. This is part of the process. As hard as that is for people to understand, this is how it goes. So we need to make sure that we stay positive. I'm not by any means saying that anybody shouldn't be feeling the way they feel. Trust me, we all feel that way. But we can't sit and live in the past. We're not going to be pessimistic. We care about it. It matters to us. But we're not going to be the glass half empty people. We will not. We won't do that.
A couple weeks ago, the 25 plays weren't going to make or break the Packer game.
Yeah.
Given how close the game turned out to be, do you still stand by that?
Yeah, I stand by that.
Thoughts there from Matt Nagy. So, and that was the question on not playing starters in the preseason. You heard his response to it. So, again, is it the difference between beating the Packers or not? No. But the point is that when you say this,
you know, they didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason.
It's something that you can't bring up because you're the one to control those reps. As you listen to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, so glad you're with us. We turn now to a Packers postgame analyst and talk show host for WSSP in Milwaukee. It is former Packer Gary Ellerson. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Gary, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. Watching that game yesterday, I want to get your thoughts. The Bears played so well in the first half, and then the Bears showed up in the second half. What stood out most about the game to you?
Well, I think the Bears are going to be much better than people thought this year with the addition of Khalil Mack. I think maybe Khalil Mack ran out of gas in the second half and just couldn't make enough splash plays. And then, of course, then Aaron Rodgers turns into Willis Reed, and that was a problem for the Chicago Bears.
Watching that first half from the Packers' standpoint, before Rodgers goes out of the game, did you think that there was issues with the offense against the Bears' defense?
Yeah, I did, but I also thought that Aaron Rodgers was pressing a little bit. I mean, he gets into these situations where he tries to hit the home run a lot. He tries to dance out of the pocket, and he gets a little bit outside of himself. I think we saw a lot of that in the first half. I thought Brian Bulaga blocked Khalil Mack well. I mean, I watched some of the film today on that, and Rodgers was kind of forcing a lot of stuff. DeShone Kizer, they were forcing stuff. They really weren't taking what the Bears were giving them. And I think you saw in the second half with Aaron Rodgers, because his knee was hurting him, he couldn't move around as much. He was 1-2-3, and he got rid of the ball, and he started taking what the Bears were giving him. And then that Packers offense were able to get into a good rhythm.
Gary, what did you think of the Packers running game? Is Jamal Williams a guy you think you can rely on for 16 games to pay dividends?
So, you know, the question's still out. You know, a pretty top draft pick for him last year. But I just think it's about Rodgers. I don't know how much he's going to run the football. Maybe I could compare it to a running back that we had here some years back, Ryan Grant. He mm-hmm. may be on that level. Most certainly he's not like an Amon Green or anyone like that. But I think he's a guy that can help move the chains and be serviceable and really just kind of help you honor the run game. But in the end, it's about Rodgers getting the ball to Jimmy Graham. No, listen, I thought the Bears did a great job of taking Jimmy Graham away from Aaron Rodgers. I think that was the cause of a lot of problems in the first half and the reason why the offense struggled.
Gary Ellison from WSSP in Milwaukee, talk show host and analyst for the Packers, with me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Defensively speaking, in that first half against Trubisky, what stood out about, especially the secondary for Green Bay against Trubisky?
Well, listen, I thought that Nagy, he may not understand what he has with in the Chicago Bears, and to me, the history of the Chicago Bears and what the Bears are all about. Right now, this team, it feels like to me Chicago is built on the defensive side of football. Mm-hmm. And ever since I've known the Chicago Bears, that's kind of what it's been about. Khalil Mack should be in the great lines of linebackers that they've had since back to Dick Butkus and on to Singletary and on to Urlacher. And so I think it should be in that category. But with that being said, Howard is a really good running back. I think they needed to have run Howard a lot more and set up play-action pass off of that. I thought maybe they relied on Trubisky just a little bit too much, and maybe they don't understand really what the identity of the Bears are all about. I think the Bears, in a couple of years, defensively should be on par with what the Vikings have right now defensively.
Yeah, you think about Roquan Smith, the kid comes out there for one play and really comes through in a big way. That surprised me. And then I just thought, again, in the first half, it looked good, especially with Akeem Hicks. You know, you played very well, splitting a double team. It's just that, as you mentioned, that second half, it just looked like a whole different dynamic for the Bears defensively, right?
Yeah, it did, and I just thought that the offense didn't help the defense. And I think if that's what you're going to do and understand how you build a team, this may not be what you had in Kansas City. That Tariq Hill guy, he's really good, and maybe Nagy thinks Cohen is that guy, but I think it's Howard. I mean, Howard, I think, should set the table for the offense and really to help the defense in gaining field position. And I just think they didn't use their best assets in trying to beat the Green Bay Packers. Now, I saw a lot of Bear fans last night, and they were upset. Of course, they should be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Bear fans thought maybe on that 4th-and-1, instead of kicking that field goal to go up 6, they thought maybe Nagy should have went for the first down on that. I'm not quite sure I buy that.
It came down to me, which we've been talking about it all day, Gary. It comes down to 3 plays. You know, it's like when the Bears have the offense, it does. I mean, the 3 plays that stand out, those 2 plays, especially in the 4th quarter, 3rd down, right? 3rd and 2. Let me get the yellow pad out.
Yes.
For hold on. Let me dig out the yellow pad. Okay. 3rd and 1 across the field pass to Deion Sims. Well,
yeah.
It was a poor play call The Packers had that covered well. Deion Sims trying to get a first down, said you run the football, because if you think that Howard was the key,
you had just gashed him.
Right. Why didn't you go back to Howard there on third down?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's my whole thing with the Bears. I just don't think Nagy knows what he has. I think he's got to understand. Maybe Howard doesn't seem like he's running a 4-4, but the guy gets the job done. I think they need to lean on him more as the season gets started, as they understand what their identity wants to be as far as a team and who they want to rely on. Listen, the Packers were in nickel a lot, and you guys are in two tight end set. I would have ran the football right down their throats. The Packers front seven is not the greatest. They don't have, to me, the Packers don't have really a true difference maker on defense. Clay Matthews is old. He's not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. You look at Nick Perry, although he came in and made a play at the end. He's a guy that can't give it to you all the time. I like Blake Martinez. I like what he brings to the table, but he's still not a huge splash guy. You got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He's not Nick Collins or Leroy Butler. He's okay. I mean, they need to take more advantage of what the Packers didn't have, and the Bears didn't do that.
The other play, Gary, is 3rd and 2. The Bears up 20-17, less than 3 minutes left, right? So they end up getting a field goal, make it 23-17. But again, that 3rd down and 2, poorly thrown ball to Miller. Again, it was covered well. But again, if you run the football there, you take a time off the clock, and maybe you still get a field goal, but at least you don't give Aaron that much time to be able to get back in the ball game.
Yeah, exactly. That pause, I'm like, okay, what is Nagy doing? I mean, he's kind of just giving, I mean, because we really don't have a good run defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of just giving us the game. And that's why I go back. I just think he just doesn't understand really what he has within his offense. Maybe he comes in with some plans of what they had in Kansas City, but you don't necessarily have them in Chicago. I mean, Chicago has been this team, I mean, in years past, has been predicated on tough defense, run game. I mean, and Neil Anderson mm-hmm. wasn't the greatest running back you had, but you still tried to do the same thing with Neil Anderson. After that, Matt Forte comes. He was a guy that was a three-down back. You could do some stuff with him. I just think they got away from what Chicago is all about. And I don't know if he can get back to that.
Neil was a Pro Bowler.
Yes, he was, right?
Yes, he was.
Right?
Yeah, Neil and
I mean, he just wasn't Walter Payton.
No.
Yes, exactly.
No, but yeah, your point is well taken, Gary, because what you're saying is that Jordan Howard may not be special, but he gets the job done, and that's good enough.
Yes.
That's good enough.
With that defense, with Roquan, with Khalil Mack, is that Leonard Floyd, I mean, with Trevathan Young, I mean, those guys are just straight out nasty, and they have to play. Listen, I don't know if you're watching the game tonight, but the Jets are just putting it on Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they play the cards right, they should leapfrog the Lions. The Lions should be the bottom team in this division this year.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I'll ask you this last thing. Why is DeShone Kizer so bad? I mean, come on, Gary. He is. I mean, you had a better backup the last couple of years. What? DeShone Kizer is terrible. He's bad in college.
Yeah, you know, you go to Cleveland last year and you don't win one single game. And that's a big deal. So you know what? And a lot of guys get caught up in this. You trade a first-round draft pick in Demaryius Randle for DeShone Kizer. Of course you're going to keep Kizer over Huntley. And that's what they got into. Now, they really like this kid, the backup, Tim Boyle, the third-string guy. They really like him a lot. They think he could be something. But listen, if Aaron Rodgers goes down, it's a wrap. It doesn't matter. You got to have Drew Brees behind Aaron. This Packer team, you guys look at it. Offensively, I think they're okay, but it revolves around Aaron Rodgers. We don't have a lot of talent. We should have did, mostly we thought we should have did whatever we could to get Khalil Mack. And I understand, I get the economics of football. You can't have the highest paid quarterback and the highest paid defensive player on the same team. It just doesn't work. But maybe for 2 years, you could have figured out and tried to get to a Super Bowl. Rodgers just doesn't have enough help defensively. Can we win 10 or 11 games? Yeah, sure. But can we get to a Super Bowl? That's on a whole different level.
Gutekunst is going to get it done, though. The new GM, Gutekunst.
We'll see. We'll see if we can get it done. We'll see. That contract is a huge contract that Rodgers just signed.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, you know, it hurts. I mean, you guys are lucky. You've got Trubisky. He's still there. He's on a rookie contract. Roquan Smith is on a rookie contract. You look at the Leonard Floyd kids. He's on a rookie contract. Most of your young players that are going to be promising are all under rookie contracts. Now is the time to go sign guys and then beef it up through the draft for the Bears. If they play their cards right, they should be in a good spot here in the next couple of years.
Gary, I'm glad you spent some time, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Looking forward to the next game for the Packers against the Vikings. And then on Monday night, it's going to be Bears in Seattle. So we're going to see what happens with both ball clubs.
I look forward for you to return the favor to us, Jonathan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is Gary Ellerson from WSSP in Milwaukee with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Some thoughts from Mike McCarthy, who was sitting there in a lawn chair in the second half watching, was watching how Aaron Rodgers was able to come through in the second half and help the Packers win. He thought the team showed growth.
Let's talk about adversity, whether it's mental, physical, emotional. You know, you look at those opportunities and clearly want to build off it. So, you know, as a team, you know, our mental errors and our execution was not very good at all to start the game. I clearly felt that our opponent was playing half a step faster than us. And, and we feel like we're addressing that this morning. And just like anything, you know, whether it's good or bad, the opportunity to learn from and improve is the most important part of what Mondays are for. So that's what we're doing now. But just the ability to keep going and obviously to overcome the deficit is a tremendous building block. And, you know, you need these kind of games because history will tell you. I mean, it's, you know, week in and week out, there's so many games that come down to the end. And that was definitely one of them last night. So there's a lot to learn from and a lot to build off of from the victory last night.
Did you take your foot off the gas, Nagy?
No, not at all, because you're...
All right, so now back to Mike McCarthy. One of the best games you've ever been a part of.
Those questions are really for, you know, when I'm sitting on a porch someday, because, I mean, I was numb. I mean, you're always worrying about the next play, the next situation. You know, we had some, you know, clock management challenges there that we did a good job of. So you're so into the mechanics of the game, and then... But, yeah, definitely one of the best games I've ever been a part of.
Thoughts there from Mike McCarthy, sitting there in his lawn chair on the sidelines watching Rodgers come back. That really is Mike McCarthy's existence up there. It just really is. He's just sitting there, and he's watching one of the all-time greats as a quarterback get it done more times than not. And happened again, 20 for 30, good for 286 yards, 3 touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers. He comes in and out of the ball game. And boy, what a drop off when Kizer gets there. My God. He's so bad. That's saying that the backup has to be Sterling. He can't be match what Rodgers does, but it just reminds me of what I saw in college at Notre Dame and what I saw definitely with Cleveland. He just doesn't have it. He makes this guy, Mike Glennon, look like an all pro. I'm just telling you. All right, we got some NFL quick hits for you coming up next on this Bears Monday. We'll talk to you about the Bears and the NFL and so much more.
We're talking Bears with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I just let the music play, Eric, so it'll be on your mind when you go to bed at night.
This, I do hum this on my walk to the train every night.
I'm just going to just let it have some rent space in your head.
It's there. The horns kick in. I'm done. It's there. It's actually filling on a mortgage at this point.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We've got NFL quick hits right around the corner. But first, let's hear from Jesse with the latest on the Cubs and the Brewers. Jess?
All right, Jay Hood. It's the top of the eighth. The Cubs trail 3-2. Let's just go back to the sixth inning. Here's the key moment in the game. Jonathan Lester pitching pretty well since the first couple innings, gets a ground out and a strikeout. Two outs, nobody on in the sixth. But on that strikeout on Jonathan Schoop, he cringes a little bit. You could tell something was wrong. Wilson Contreras immediately calls the training staff out. They leave him in the game. The next two batters, Moustakas and Kratz, easily come up with hits. They end up with second and third, two outs. And finally, Lester is pulled with lower back tightness. Joe Maddon decides to go to his most struggling reliever, Carl Edwards Jr., who promptly throws a wild pitch on his first pitch to Orlando Arcia, who's hitting .218 at the time. The lead run scores. Edwards doesn't even cover home. The lead runner scores, and then Edwards proceeds to walk Arcia on four pitches, and that's where we stand in the eighth now, 3-2. So all sorts of second and first guessing going on in this game, and obviously concern about John Lester's back. It's been back and forth as this whole season series has been. Cubs' lead in division is getting really, really small right now. 3-2, they trail in the eighth. Back to you.
All right, Jesse, thank you.
Yo, it's time for NFL Quick Hits. The latest around the NFL with Jonathan Hood.
What the hell's going on out here?
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Yeah. NFL Quick Hits. Yeah. TJ, Chris Berman, 25 years, NFL.
Time for NFL quick hits right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, and Jonathan Hood with you. Raiders leading the Rams 7-0. That game is in the first quarter of play. The reason why I bring that up is because John Gruden went to the hole. It's at the Black Hole in Oakland. Right before the game, he's slapping hands and he's celebrating with the fans before the game starts. So he's fired up. Speaking of John Gruden, when it comes to Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears, of course, it's Monday Night Football, right? So you know that the Monday Night Football crew is going to ask about Khalil Mack, how come he's now with the Raiders. And Gruden says this.
Obviously, Khalil Mack didn't want to play here. You know, that's what's being missed here. He was under contract, Lisa. You know, he was under contract. He never showed up for an OTA. He never showed up for training camp. And it was obvious he wasn't going to show up for the season. So, you know, don't forget that. We have to get ready to play. And I want players that want to be here, that want to help us put this thing back in high gear.
That's one perspective. Sure. That's one perspective. The other perspective is that you try to reach out to him one time and he didn't return your call. So you thought that you were back at ESPN where a producer can bring him down to the tunnel and so you could talk to him. And that's not how things work. He thought that he's underpaid. He wanted to be able to have a nice contract. And as someone who has, quite frankly, full autonomy of the organization, more so than the GM and on par with the owner, and Mark Davis, I think John could have did a better job of trying to communicate with Khalil Mack.
It smells like his ego got in the way of them losing one of the best players in the league. He didn't want to make an effort because this guy's great, but didn't want to show up because he's holding out. I think it was an ego thing.
Al Michaels and Chris Collins were talked to Khalil Mack before the game, and they asked, you know, if John Gruden reached out more to talk to you about staying with the Raiders and put together a nice deal, would you have stayed with Oakland? He said yes. So you decide. It's a final, the Jets over the Lions, 48-17. Oh man. So you know that Jets fans will be insufferable. Oh my god. If you know of one, oh my god. Sam Darnold for MVP, 16-21, good for 198 yards, two touchdowns in game one of the doubleheader for Monday Night Football. I agree with Harry Tynowitz, by the way. He said this over the years, that there should be a doubleheader for Monday Night Football every Monday. I'm totally down with that.
Let's get rid of the Thursday game. Move that, then double Monday night. I'm down every time.
Harry was right about that. A double, he said that years ago, and he's totally right because now you got two games and the Jets going into Detroit, beat down the Lions. You heard from Gary Ellerson in our last half hour. He thinks that the Bears, from a personnel standpoint, should be able to surpass the Lions, and that the Lions should be in last place in the NFC North. Time will tell on that. Stafford, by the way, 27-46, good for 286 yards, a touchdown, four interceptions. He got knocked down the ball game, And I didn't know he was going to come back, but he did come back. And by the way, that Detroit running game, still solid. 15 carries, good for 39 yards. 15 carries, 39 yards for the running game for Detroit.
So midseason form for the Lions right there.
The Lions sleeps tonight. So 48-17, the final. Jets over the Lions. So we do NFL quick hits right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Okay. Sound page 3. Click. Here we go. Here we go now to Jeff Saturday, his thoughts on Pat Mahomes. You know, can I be the first to tell you, I didn't think that Pat Mahomes would be a great pro. Did not. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being on the wrong side of that, if that's going to be the case. Did not think that Mahomes was going to be a good pro, but I'll tell you one thing. He really showed that he can play this game based on the 38-28 victory on the road for Kansas City over the Chargers. Inside the numbers, Phillip Rivers does what Phillip Rivers does. 3 touchdowns, 34 for 51, good for 424 yards of the loss. But Pat Mahomes, though, 15 for 27, had 4 touchdowns. He was terrific. And so, by the way, was Tariq Hill. 169 yards, 7 receptions, 2 touchdowns. He was restaurant quality. Jeff Saturday from ESPN thinks that Mahomes adds a whole new element to the offense for the Chiefs.
You look at a team like this from an offensive perspective, when you're protecting for him, as you not only, you know, as an offensive lineman, offensive teammate, you understand not only can he extend plays with his legs and go make plays with his legs, he extends plays looking to make bigger plays down the field. So Absolutely. It's one of those Aaron Rodgers type mentality. I'm not comparing the two, but that mentality where, hey, I'm going to extend my block. I'm going to fight that extra second. I'm going to try to push the guy because I know if he gets one more step, maybe he throws that touchdown because he's got such a strong arm. So It puts you in a totally different mindset of an offensive player, understanding it's not just I'm going to go make 5 yards with my legs like Alex Smith, because he could move around as well. It's I may go make 5 or I may go 50 throwing the ball deep.
You know, the Browns didn't lose yesterday, but they also didn't win. They tied with the Steelers at 21.
Best start to their season, best opening start since, 2009?
Yes.
Tie. Not even a win. Best start to their season is 0-1 in 9 years.
Cleveland Browns snapped their 17-game losing streak but extended their winless streak to 18. 21-21 tie. First tie in an opening season game since 1971 when the Dolphins and Broncos played to a 10-10 tie. Holy mackerel. Prior to Sunday's tie, Pittsburgh was 80-0 in the last 15 seasons when leading by at least 14 points in the fourth quarter. 80-0 the last 15 seasons when leading by at least 14 points in the fourth quarter. That is a tremendous number. Hugh Jackson, blue.
The guys fought, disappointed for our fans. Didn't want them to go home without a victory. I didn't want our players to go home without a victory. So we wasn't able to get it done. Didn't finish it. But obviously a tie, you know, a tie.
You know, it's funny. Because I believe Washington went through this either last year or last couple of years. I think it was in Gruden was saying, it's a tie. I don't know what we do here with a tie. You don't know how to feel. You know you didn't win, but you also didn't lose. It's a tie. And you hear Hugh Jackson make it seem like it's a loss. I mean, you tied. And it was a hell of a battle and a bunch of rain and slop in that game in Cleveland.
The one thing you take from that game is Josh Gordon, still good at football.
Yes. Yes. Want to see more, though. Want to see more. It just, yeah.
Yeah, like, you feel so weird when it's a tie. Like, it's dirty. It's like you kissed your cousin or something. Like, yeah, you kissed somebody, but it's your cousin.
Yeah, it's not the same. Buccaneers over the Saints, 48-40. Highest scoring season opener in NFL history, 88 points. If you had the over, congratulations. Tampa Bay, 48 points tie is a franchise record. Ryan Fitzpatrick, career high 417 passing yards, 6th 400-yard passing game in Buccaneers history, and first in the season opener. Fitz magic is back, says Dirk Cutter.
Hey, how we doing? I'm happy to announce that Fitz magic is alive and well. Quite a start, huh? Oh, he's got it in him. You just saw it.
Okay, well, I'm glad he's got a little pep in his step. Dirk Cutter, you better be happy because he will be fired at season's end if Tampa underachieves. The Cowboys. You know, while Dez Bryant is on his couch trolling, and I was reading this yesterday, just keep my eyes, got my alerts on to see what Dez Bryant had to say. Dez Bryant still does not have a job in the NFL, by the way, which is really amazing. But the Cowboys fell short yesterday. They lose by the score of 16-8 to the Panthers. Zeke Elliott, that was not Cowboy football yesterday.
We got to start better. We got to start faster. That's not Dallas Cowboys football. That's not how we've ever played. And so if we want to succeed, if we want to go out there and win ball games, we can't come out there and lay an egg in the first half.
People think the Saints might win the Super Bowl this year. And again, we're talking about balance on both sides of the football, right? Well, there was no balance, but Field Yates from ESPN is very concerned about the Saints' defense.
That secondary was supposed to be an area of not strength, but dominance for the Saints. And, like, I don't know how you cannot be a little bit concerned about the defense after what we saw today. Remember, they traded up in the first round, which included trading away their 2019 first-round pick to acquire a pass rusher, Marcus Davenport, that they thought could be like a missing link for this defense. They can't allow 48 points at home to a team with its backup quarterback, to a team that is starting a player in Peyton Barber at running back that was basically like a journeyman in the NFL. Like, it's a little bit of a disconcerting effort from the Saints. I have not, you know, like, moved my opinion of them to the point that they can't be a competitive team in the NFC South, but a little bit disarming to see them start like that.
Bears, Nagy on Fuller's game.
The one thing with Kyle is he's so mentally strong. That's what I love about him. He pretty much stays the course. And you have to be that way as a corner. They took a shot with the August special to 81 down the sideline, and they made a special throw, special catch. And Kyle was played that about as well as you could. And you got to give credit to them. You know, I thought it was good defense. I thought it was great offense.
Packers. Rodgers knew that the Packers are going to win.
Is there ever a point just in the second half where you just felt like you were going to win this, and you just knew that you were losing the game?
Walking out the second half, when I realized I probably should jog. I was thinking about walking from the tunnel out all the way to the sideline, but I figured I might as well jog a little bit to let Doc McKenzie know that I could do that, because I hadn't done that yet back in the bowels of the stadium here. And when I got the ovation at that point, I said we might as well win this thing.
He's not cocky. He's convinced.
Right. Down 17-0. Hobbled on one leg. Meh. Might as well just go win this game. What do you say?
So good. So good. My gosh. He knew. You know why he thought that? Because the Bears were on the other side. That's why.
I thought it was so interesting coming out of half because the Bears got the ball. Collinsworth was saying, if the Bears score a touchdown here, maybe they should just let Rodgers rest the rest of the game because this game's over.
Right.
They get three, and then tide's turned.
That is NFL Quick Hits, a Monday edition here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. There it is. Aaron Rodgers. Leg's not great, but you know what? I think we're just going to go out and win this game now. It's the Bears on the other side. Nah. I mean, what is that? What is that? Damn. That's why he's great, you know? I mean, this is what Khalil Mack and all, you know, the Akeem Hicks and the defense played well in the first half. And just like, you know what? You know, he goes, probably went to McCarthy. He's like, you know, we're probably going to speed it up here. I'm not going to be moving around. I can't move. So we're just going to try to get the ball out in 2 seconds or less.
There's nothing much scarier on a football field when he's just running like a 2 minute, a fast pace, a 2 minute type offense. No huddle. It's just command all the time with that. It's unbelievable.
It happened. So the Bears will take on Seattle on Monday night. That's a victory, by the way.
Seattle's got a lot of problems. Yeah. A lot of problems.
I have not given my official. I'll do that Thursday. I haven't given my official score, but yeah, that's Bears will figure out a way. Because if they don't, oh boy.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.